Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I don't know if I have it in me, Limits. I don't know if Paul does either. But proceed. Not if they don't make a trade, it's not.
The third took a bad hop over Hayes' glove. It goes into left field. Two are in for the Astros, and Houston leads 2-0. That bad hop grounder to Hayes at third.
Left field, two runs.
Swung on, hit deeply out to right field, and Cabbage back to the wall. Yasmani Grandal hits the facing of the recessed second deck. A long home run. And the first Pirates base runner is Grandal with the homer to cut the deficit in half. Two on and two out, and the 2-1 to Cruz. Blasted to right, base hit. That's going to head to the wall. Triolo is in to score. Reynolds touches third. He's held there on the RBI double by Cruz. He hit it too hard to score Reynolds, but he ties the game here in the eighth inning. The ball, but now it's 1-1 on Taylor's pitch. Swinging a ball, belted. Deep out to left field, and Michael A. Taylor has slammed one out of here. A huge three-run homer off Hayter. Michael A. Taylor puts the Pirates on top, 5-2. They sink Hayter and the Astros.
A strike away from a Pirate victory. The 0-2, a swing and a pop-up. Up toward Cruz, the shortstop. He's under it. He's got it, and the Pirates prevail. What a comeback victory for the Buccos. Wow, they are in the midst of this thing.
Hey, hey, hey.
You're going to be the only
Bucco
one, buddy.
All the way.
The only one. You are going to be, this is weird. Paul, welcome back from vacation. To me, I mean. But why am I welcoming you back? He wasn't
welcome
on
back,
vacation.
Joe.
That's
great,
okay.
Great to have you back.
Yeah, that wasn't a passive-aggressive way to get me welcomed back.
Welcome back, Joe.
I'm not awake yet for some reason. Thank you. Very kindly. Is women's rugby the last true, like, throwback sport? It's football with no pads,
yeah.
and they're tackling like football players do.
Well, men's rugby exists as
is
well.
Is there men's rugby in the Olympics? I don't
is
even
it?
Know.
Is it? I don't know. I've been watching this. It's insanity.
And here's the thing.
I love it.
I've seen this sentiment on Twitter a lot, on social media a lot, and it's so true because, as an American, I have no idea what the rules are, no idea what's going on, but I can't stop watching this. It's tremendous.
They're bashing each other's faces.
They're running
in.
This is like the this is like the 1994.
Did you see that tackle?
This is like the 1994 Nebraska Cornhuskers here, running triple option. Look at this.
Why are they going backwards so often?
I mean, there's full hits. It's insane.
Look at this.
Look at stiff arm. Look at her.
She's tackled. Oh,
and Piggy on the ground.
Oh, look at her. There's a lot of activity. Can I just say welcome back?
Yeah, and thank you for that. It's wonderful to be back as a full crew, too.
Yes.
What's that, Jolie?
He's welcoming you back, too. Everybody's excited. Joe's back in the fold.
The excitement is palpable, Paul. How was it?
Absolutely. Oh, we had a good time. I mean, we had
was
a good
Bob
time.
Here yesterday?
Bob was here for a little bit. Then, of course, he had to leave.
Oh, yeah. I did get I got a tweet from somebody saying the show's better without you. Stay home or on
vacation. There is one texter that texts in every day when you're not here and says, hooray, no Joe today.
that makes me feel good coming back here, City Limits.
You know what? Can I just say one thing real quick?
Of course.
I just got to give a little shout out here. It's the little things, Joe. You're like me. The little things make the day and in life so much better, right?
Yeah.
I generally grab something to eat before I leave. I generally don't leave my house empty stomached.
Yeah.
Because I got to come here and do the show, you know. Today, I was in a hurry. I had a doctor's appointment, you know. So I stopped real quick at this Wendy's down the hill. You know, it's right down here on whatever that road is below us.
Be careful, because I've been doing wonderful endorsements for the Wendy's breakfast sandwich.
Well,
and they are good.
Well, that's what I just ate. Well, I mean, obviously the sandwich was tremendous. But my point was, there was a woman, and I wish I would have got her name, that was in the drive-thru.
You know,
she took my order, and I moved. Can I just tell you, like, when you run into someone who does that job with joy...
Yeah.
It completely changes your experience. Like, the food was good. I love that breakfast sandwich that you were talking about. The honey chicken is the whatever it's called. It's unbelievable.
To die for. Yeah.
But the woman was so polite. She was so enthusiastic. She was so nice. And I felt bad because I had literally $20 worth of change in my, you know, thing. And I was like, I gotta get rid of some of these quarters. So I was like, here, can I pay you some of these quarters and this and that? She was like, oh, that's no problem. She was happy. No, can I just tell you, when you run into somebody like that, that really enjoys their job and understands that, you know what, they're part of the experience, I'm telling you, changed my mood completely.
Yeah.
I was in a little bit of a cranky mood, you know. You know how it is. It was a little bit of cranky mood, but it was like, refreshing, like, you know, because a lot of times you go to these places and these people, you know, they're I don't know what their issue is, but they're not happy and they don't give you good service. And when you run into somebody who doesn't like her, I wish I'd have got her name, because I literally would write to the manager and say, hey, listen, this woman is an incredible employee.
I've had similar experiences lately, and I agree with you 1,000%. I also had one that wasn't so good in a donut shop recently that shall not be named, where I walked in and stood at the counter and there was nobody there except me and the dude behind the counter. He didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. And I swear to God, we were going on 3 minutes, 3 minutes. And it was just so weird. But I worked in restaurants for what? Probably age 16 to 30 or 29. So 13 years. One of the main tenets is, you're supposed to greet the person with a hello, you know, what would you like? You know, can I help you? Those are common greetings. Not nothing. Right, City Limits?
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be a friendly interaction, especially when you're talking to a little monitor.
Yeah, and I understand, too, the misery that can be involved there. I did it for 13 years as a pizza cook, a waiter, a coffee shop guy, everything, Paul.
Yeah.
Did you work in restaurants?
Yeah, I mean, I worked it way back. I worked at Pizza Hut. And I was always, I delivered and I, you know, was a waiter or whatever. I delivered, I cooked, whatever they needed, you know, a Pizza Hut employee. I did it all. But I actually enjoyed interacting with customers, you know? I did.
I hated it and faked it. But I still did
I'm just saying, I understood, you know, hey. But my thing is, one of the things we have to remember, Joe, is it takes a lot less energy and effort to be kind and positive, you know, than it does to be miserable. Be miserable.
That could be a matter for debate, but we might need to discuss that later.
No, I mean, go look at what mental health experts will tell you about it.
Yeah.
And how much energy it takes to be miserable versus, and how much energy it takes to frown versus to smile.
Well, I'm smiling now because of your opening, and I appreciate that. No, I do. I appreciate what you said.
I'm in a good place because of it, is what I'm telling you.
And I like that. I like to return here to see Paul in a good place. How is IT and how are City Limits? Good?
IT, are you well?
He's
IT is doing well. We're getting to the final days of IT before he goes back to school. I'm getting very upset. We've been acquainted so well over the last couple of weeks and months.
Where does he go? Slippery Rock?
No.
Everybody goes to Slippery Rock.
Why in everybody's mind is Slippery Rock the new haven of where everybody goes now?
Well, we'll
Nick,
have
it's
to
a
have,
pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
I talked to Nick. I had him on Sunday.
That's a great moment.
And I played that.
Let's get to the task at hand
here. Where does he go to school?
IUP.
Oh, okay. IUP. Wonderful place.
I knew it was one of those schools, so I was close.
We'll have an IT party.
We'll need to.
This is a strange time, I would imagine, to be a Pirate fan, Paul. I'll tell you why. It was a great game last night on the heels of another great. How many times in the last 7 years have you seen, well, you haven't, back-to-back wins like that with something at stake? It's got to be incredibly enthralling to be watching this team, and yet everybody's livid because Ben Cherington hasn't done anything. So it's like this dichotomy. You know what I mean? You're a Pirate fan. Limits? These are incredible days, and they're infuriating days. And then, especially last night, Paul, two of the main targets of all the rage, Michael A. Taylor and Yasmani Grandal, are the two heroes, basically, or two of them,
right,
of the game. Certainly, Taylor was the hero. And they're the guys that got it done. And if you made a list of people that Pirate fans never want to see at the plate anymore, they would also top that list.
Right.
So very confusing times, but I think we can all agree that A, Ben Cherington should have made multiple moves by now and has failed this team, and B, and more importantly now, something big, something significant has to happen by the deadline. Do we all agree here?
It's not going to, though.
You don't think?
I don't think they're going to do anything.
Anything significant or anything at all?
Bob Nightingale was on yesterday. Did you hear him?
Yeah, I haven't been that depressed since Ron's last day here, or every other day with Ron. I haven't been that depressed since then.
I'm just saying, you know, it feels to me like they're going to basically say, I think that if you look at and read the tea leaves, they don't want to basically be in a position where they're going to have to pitch Paul Skeens on normal rest throughout the entire season, maybe even Jared Jones. They don't want to have to be in a position where they're doing that.
You might be right. The guy we have at 11 o'clock here, yeah, Destiny's Child, has made that point on a number of occasions. I feel differently. I think Bob Nutting is going to say to Ben Cherington, we have to get something done by 6 o'clock,
right,
a fairly significant trade. Now, even is one move, even if it's significant enough, I don't think so.
No,
I mean, we were at game 106 last night, Paul, and he's got a minor league lineup out there.
Well, here's the other part of it, though. I think if I'm a firm believer in this, if they were to go sign somebody, I mean, trade for somebody, obviously, Luis Robert isn't happening. I don't think Brent Rooker is happening.
But why?
But I don't. I mean, but I'm just saying. Even if they were, you know, to go, I don't think Taylor Ward is going to happen. You know, but the reports are that the ask is too high, and they don't want to come down to what Ben Cherington wants to pay. If their move is to go get somebody like Kevin Pillar, I guess that makes them better. But all I'm saying is, I think if they make a move of any significance, somebody, you know what I mean, that is just going to, it'll infuse even more energy into a locker room that already has a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And I think that it'll, you know, have the opposite effect of the Jake Guentzel trade, where the Penguins pouted for five games or six games and it ended up costing them. I think the opposite would happen.
I agree with you.
I think there'd be even more energy that would just be infused into that locker room. And my thing is, the most hilarious thing about Pirates baseball social media is that they're stooges for, you know. So, I don't know. There was a trade that apparently fell apart. And it was leaked, quote unquote. You know, who the other team wanted. And, of course, the usual suspects were all going on and on about it. That was way too much. Way too much. And it's like, well, A, you don't know that that's actually what they asked for. And B, how do you know it's way too much? You know, and a classic example, Joe, is last night they traded for this, what was the kid's name from from Red Sox? What's his
Nick
name?
York.
Nick York. I actually like the trade. You know what I mean? They got something for Quinn Priester, who I think is terrible, and will never be really a good pitcher. And they got something, but the problem is the something they got doesn't help them this year.
Right. So, no, I agree with that. I like that trade, but they got to do something for now.
But again, to prospect wonks, okay. They don't hear me saying I actually think it was a good trade for the future. And I actually think it's a good trade because they got rid of Quinn Priester. But it's not the kind of trade they needed to make. They don't need to make a trade for next year or the year after or whatever. They need to make a trade for the next 50 games. That's what they need to make a trade for.
Yes. And the Kevin Pillar type guys should have already been here.
Right.
They should have already. Of course he would help. He has an 824 OPS. He's got some power. Yes, he would help. Any professional bat would help. Justin Turner would have helped. Jesse Winker would have helped anybody. But now you're down to the point where you got to make a big move. You have to. So let's get on the record here. And when I say a player of significance, I'm talking to Brent Rooker, Luis Robert, you know, Vlad Guerrero. Is Taylor Ward a player of significance?
No.
Would that be significant enough? Not for me either.
I think Brian De La Cruz from Miami would be significant at this point, the outfielder.
How about Yandy Diaz?
Year.
Would that be a move of significance?
Yes.
All right, but here's my question with him.
Well, let's first get on
him?
The record here.
What do
I
you
say
do with
yes.
Him?
DH him.
Okay, what do you do with Andrew McCutchen?
Make him play right field sometimes. Sometimes don't play Andrew McCutchen. Contrary to popular opinion, let's see here. In July, 76 at-bats, he's batting 197 with a 662 OPS. 197 coming on the heels of a June where he batted 222 with a 687 OPS. I know people want to automatically and vehemently defend him, and I get tweets from people saying, you wanted to DFA him. No, I raised the question earlier, way earlier, like early April, was he a DFA candidate when he was batting 173 on April 21st? Then he got hot, and then he played really well, and he's still giving you some clutch hits. But if the question is, could I upgrade at DH? The answer has to be yes. And if that forces McCutchen into the fielder a little bit, or if they go get Brent Rooker, he's also a DH. If it forces Rooker into the field a little bit, then I'm willing to live with that.
But
Paul,
he's third on your team in home runs, and he's third on your team in OPS. He's one of the bats.
I know, but that's like saying I'm the fastest guy in the studio.
But my point is, there are other far worse bats that you should be thinking about trying to get rid of.
I'm not trying to get rid of him.
But again, there's not a place for him to play if he can't play DH. You can't put him in the outfield.
Then put Rooker in the outfield, or put where else can Diaz play? Are you saying you wouldn't upgrade at DH under any circumstance because of McCutchen?
I would, but again, I would. But what I'm saying,
have him be a bench bat.
What I'm saying is, if you're only going to make one trade, it needs to be an outfielder. Now, if you're telling me,
I think it needs to be a bat.
If you're telling me where you're going to upgrade, okay, I would love to have Yandy. That's fine, but
I don't know that Yandy's the guy necessarily that would be the upgrade.
But it can't be the only move.
Yeah,
you've got to get an outfielder. I don't care that Michael A. Taylor turned on a meatball, an absolute meatball, as that pitch right there. They might as well have put that pitch on a platter for him. It was ridiculous. It was middle, and it was like 97. Wasn't, you know what I mean? He didn't even dial up the 100 and 101 or whatever.
I give him full credit for that, though, don't you?
I give him credit for hitting
it, but again, gotta hit it. That's Josh Hader.
But my point is, I give him credit for hitting it, but to me, it wasn't like he you know, that's an indication that he's going to start getting hits.
No. Nobody's saying that.
One home run.
It was a gigantic home run.
It was a gigantic one on a meatball that was served up to him. So I don't want it, I don't want this to become, maybe this team can, because they're gritty and they're tough and they fight till the end, and the Michael Taylor got a hit and Grandal got a hit and they're going to start. No. These guys aren't good.
They aren't. But the team itself does have a fight about them where they deserve to be upgraded.
They do. They
and
need
if
to,
I'm telling you that if so Brent Rooker comes here and he can only play DH, then Andrew McCutchen's going to have to be a bench bat. Sorry.
Okay, here you go. John Heyman just reported this.
What?
Yanks, Astros among teams considering Yandy Diaz. Pirates may be an outside chance. You know what that means.
Well, I still think, back to the original question here, I think they're going to make a move of some significance by 6 p.m. Do you? City limits.
Okay, well, define significance.
Yeah, define significance for you.
I mentioned some guys. Rooker. Diaz, is he a guy of significance?
I think so.
I don't know.
He was an all-star last year.
Yeah, you're right. He had a hell of a year last year. All right, then we'll borderline it at Diaz. Diaz and above, a move of significance. I say yes. Paul?
So Diaz is a move of significance.
For this team?
Again, my point is, if they're only going to make one move, it needs to be for an outfielder. If Diaz is part of some larger thing, where they're bringing an outfielder and Diaz, okay,
that would be great.
But first, third, and DH. I mean, I guess you could make the argument they need to upgrade at third, but he's a guy that's making a lot of money. They're not going to take.
Well, he's also a right-handed hitter, so he could platoon with Tellez. He could spell Key Brian Hayes. He could play D. I just want a bat. I'm not picky at this point. Give me somebody who can walk up to the plate with a stick in his hand and hit the baseball.
Crowley threw this out here. Would you do Yandy Diaz and also Kevin Pillar?
Yes.
Both additions. Is that significant enough?
Yes. That would be great.
What?
That's two professional hitters in a lineup that last night threw out Jiwon Bae before he was hurt, borderline major leaguer. Palacios, borderline major leaguer. Jared Triolo, borderline major leaguer. Key Brian Hayes, hideous at the plate this year. And Michael A. Taylor, hideous. And Grandal, hideous. And it's great that those guys came through. It was awesome. But the lineup last night, Aleca Williams is here as a bench player. They need as many professional hitters as they can get. I'll take two. Yeah. That would be great. Pillar and Diaz.
Pillar with the Angels this year after getting moved from the White Sox. 51 games, 6 homers, 28 RBIs, hitting .308 with an .853 OPS.
Yes, that's Mickey Mantle in this lineup. Give me him. Give me, yes, a couple. In fact, I think a couple might be better than one big one.
Well,
depending on how big the piece is.
Yeah.
Like if it would have been a Jazz Chisholm who homered twice yesterday, I know one was off a position player. I mean, that's the type of impactful guy you need.
Yeah. He's also not having a great year. But I would have taken Chisholm. But my pick is still Rooker. He's Bryce Harper. Since the beginning of last season, you look at his numbers and Bryce Harper's numbers. He's an elite power hitter, Brent Rooker. .957 OPS, 55 homers since the beginning of last year. That's what I'm talking about with him. So yeah. If you can get him, Paul, whatever you have, you figure out the rest later after he walks into your clubhouse,
Yeah, I mean, again, I just think that, but I just don't know if they're going to have, Here's the other thing that worries
me. So are you saying yes or no to they're going to make at least one significant move for a hitter?
significant, again, is subjective.
Diaz being the low bar. Whether you like it or not, do you think they'll get one in here?
I don't see them going and getting Diaz. I don't see them going and getting Luis Robert. I don't see them going and getting Rooker.
Blade, Ward.
They've already said, you know, allegedly the price was too high. I mean, maybe that the De La Cruz guy or whatever his name is from Tampa.
You said Josh Bell on waivers, on limits?
Yeah, he's pretty much going to be available for, not free, but basically for nothing if he clears. Or you can just pick him up and you'll have to eat his salary.
What do you do with him?
You do the same thing you do with Diaz. You DH him a little bit and you'd play him at first base. With a switch hitter, he can be the right-handed complement to Tellez at first.
You put him on your bench at the very least and get Aleca Williams down to Indianapolis in the Concord. Get him down there in 5 minutes.
I would not consider that to be a significant move. Picking up a guy who was put
on
waivers.
Me neither. That we're on to a different thing there.
And quite frankly, if he's not traded for at 6:05, at 6:05 tonight, he'll be DFA'd.
No, we're not talking about him in the context of a significant move. We're talking about, would you bring in Josh Bell for free, basically, right?
Yeah, he's already been DFA'd.
By the way, he'd be third on the Pirates in
homers. He was put on waivers.
He's got 14
DFA'd.
Home runs.
So in other words, there's different levels to it. And the thing about it is they're trying to make sure that they can still, maybe if someone wants to come and trade for him, they basically are advertising that he is out there for the taking.
So would I give up almost nothing to bring in Josh Bell? Absolutely. Yes.
I wouldn't consider it a significant move.
No. But would I like to turn to Josh Bell instead of Aleca Williams, Connor Joe, Michael A. Taylor on my bench? God, yes.
Right.
Well, I don't think they're going to make a big move of significance. I just don't. Hearing the comments from Charrington, the Parado report still sits in the back of my mind with the fact that people in the organization were furious when Bob Nutting came out and said, basically put everything on Ben Charrington. Here you go. Make a move. Do something. I just have to see it to believe it at this point. We haven't seen it since the Archer deal.
Well, then we get to the next question that we'll address next. And we'd love to hear from you today. Because, again, this has to be sort of a weird time to be a Pirate fan. Are they contenders or are they not? Two objects of great rage, Taylor and Grandal, with dramatic home runs last night. Will they make a move or won't they? And the next question on the table is, if they don't, if this just continues, who's to blame here? Who's number one on your blame list, Nutting or Charrington? 412-92. I'll ask that question next.
Yes. Coming up. Let me flip this to you, too. Did they sign, what's his name, Jaron or Jalen? What's the Beeks guy? What's his first name? Jalen.
Jalen Beeks.
Jalen.
Yeah.
Did they sign Jalen? Don't call me Clarence Beeks. Do you know who Clarence Beeks is? Did you ever see Trading Places?
Yes.
He's the guy that is trying to get the crop reports. Clarence Beeks. You know what I'm talking about? He has the crop reports, the guy in the...
Yes, he's tremendous.
But anyway, long story short, did they get Beeks so they can offload Chapman? That is a very fair question.
That would be unbelievably infuriating. And that's possible. We're going to hear some quotes from you mentioned Bob Nightingale.
7.5 hours for all of this to happen. And I'm going to tell you, if we were sitting here 7.5 hours from now, and there was no trade that made the offense better, and they offloaded a couple of guys like Perez and Chapman, the Pirates deserve to get absolutely destroyed by criticism.
And the question then would be, whose fault is it? 412-928-93.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
70. All right, Limits, play your most depressing Florence Nightingale quote from yesterday. This was Bob Nightingale on with the PM guys, and this reminded me of seeing Ron in the morning.
I can't see him being buyers, not big time buyers by any means, just in the sense where, you know, if you've already gone through the whole pain of rebuilding everything else, so you're not going to give away top prospects just for a shot at going for it. In the I think realistically they say, you know what, next year's our year.
Sure.
Skeens, everybody else, Bob, you know, now we don't have to worry about, you know, pitch counts and innings counts and do that.
I don't know. Is next year their year? What you might have to worry about is an injury, because something like 40% of all young power pitchers at least undergo the knife at some point. All I know is Skeens is healthy now. That's what I know.
Again, what kind of ass backwards way of doing business is that you say we've got good players, right? But we're afraid we might actually have to play them in September and October because we're winning.
It's amazing.
But
he might be right that's what they're thinking.
I'm not saying Bob Nightingale's wrong. I actually probably agree with him. My point is, we've been sold this song for so long from the Pirates that there are actually people out here that still buy this nonsense. That's the worst part. The people that, you know, that rip me on Twitter because I have the audacity to say they need to go make a deal, and I don't give a damn if it means they get rid of Delgado, who's the 20th prospect, and what's the other guy? Mitch Jeb. Who cares? Neither of those guys mean a thing to me. And for that matter, neither does DeMar Johnson, neither does Bubba Chandler, neither does Solomato, neither does any of them. I care about this team winning this year, period. And we'll worry about next year. And as I said to somebody yesterday who got, you know, wanted to bring the whole, well, I'd rather be good for the long haul, as if that's going to happen, I brought up the fact that, oh, by the way, this pitching staff, you have it in place for the next 3 or 4 years. So the idea that you're mortgaging the future because you get rid of Mitch Jeb, Or what's the other guy I always like to bring up? Harrington? Is that another guy's name, right?
Yeah, Thomas Harrington.
Right, Thomas Harrington. Oh, my God! What are we going to do? Thomas Harrington! I can't imagine giving him up! I can't imagine the Pirates surviving, giving up Thomas Harrington and Mitch Jeb and Delgado!
Might be giving voice there to what's going on in Ben Cherington's head. I wonder if that's what he's
thinking. That's what I'm saying. And yesterday, Joe, you'd have loved this. I don't mean to cut you off here, but this is a sore subject with me because they get away with it because people allow them to get away with it. Yesterday, I said it's time we stop because, of course, you know, the first two calls were, well, it's Nutting's fault. It's Nutting's fault. He doesn't want to spend. He doesn't want to spend. He doesn't want to blah, 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 blah. Listen, it's high time we stop letting Ben Cherington off the hook, because I firmly believe that he has the ability to make a deal if he wants to.
Okay, that's perfect. Because I got a bunch of tweets today, or what do you call, if it's called X, what are the actual missives called?
They're still tweets.
X's?
They're still tweets to me.
Tweets?
They're
okay.
Not X's. That's a completely different thing.
Because I wrote, is Bob Nutting preventing Cherington from making a big move? Is he the guy that needs to make it
He's
happen?
Not.
And all I got was, Or no. It was a tweet last night saying Ben Cherington needs to make a move. This team in this city owes it. They're owed a gutsy move at the deadline. And all I got was, it's up to Nutting, not Cherington. Open the checkbook. At this point in this season, we all feel the same way about Bob Nuttington. About Nuttington. Everybody feels the same way. They don't spend enough on their baseball team. Everybody feels the same way. But at this point right now in this season, it's not about the checkbook. It's about prospect capital. Right. And what you're willing to give up. But Paul, I will say this. Cherington has already failed this team. He has. He should have been collecting bats. Minor moves for professional at-bats so you don't go into games with Aliko Williams. He didn't do it. He's already failed the team. If he doesn't make a move by 6 p.m. tonight, that does ultimately go back to Nutting. If for no other reason, then Nutting's the guy who hired the GM who failed. That's a failure on Nutting's part. Part two of that is he's the boss. He can order a move. He can order it. Right. He's the boss.
Hello. So what my point is...
A man that neither of us know just walked into the studio. How are you? Who's he? He might be one of our bosses, which could be big trouble. I don't know who he is.
Oh, Craig Rowley is down the hall.
If you go all the way down the hall, ask where
wait,
Craig
wait,
is.
Wait, if you go down
this
the hallway...
This is a miracle.
Hold up. If you go down the hallway there... You get to the end, make a right and a quick left, and as you're walking past the vending machines that don't work, by the way.
Yeah, they don't work.
The very next door in your right is Craig Rowley's office.
Yeah, bathrooms out to your left.
Yes.
Vending machine out to your left.
There's an empty candy jar there, and well, that's about all. But the vending machine, don't use a card. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
We had this.
Thank you.
We had this meltdown yesterday, Joe. Remember my friend from Penn Trafford, the guy from Penn Trafford that I went to school with.
The vending machine
guy. Sure, it was gonna work. He was back there. The damn thing didn't work again yesterday, and I was late getting back to the sit here to do the show because I was fiddling with it. Anyway.
Am I hallucinating, or did a man just wander into the studio and ask where Craig Riley's office is?
That did actually happen, yes.
Now, the bad thing would be if that was... He looked like a young man here for an internship.
He looked like an intern.
But... The other side of me says he's an executive from Odyssey.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe he's job shadowing.
That could be very bad.
He came in, but anyway.
Paul, ultimately, in my opinion, the buck stops with Nutting.
It does, but here's the thing: if he's a guy that wants to allow his baseball people to make baseball decisions,
yeah.
If I say to you, you have a green light to make a deal, and you come back and you say, well, there's nothing that made sense. See, like to me. This is where the line between the Jerry Joneses of the world and the, you know, hands-off owners of the world, there is somewhere in between. Where
there is.
If you're the owner, you walk down to the office and say, listen, Ben, I can really, you know, appreciate your love of Mitch Jeb, but if we don't have Taylor Ward or Rooker or one of these guys here tonight, you will not have a job tomorrow. That's how I would do it. But here's the other part of it, though. The whole Nutting, well, he won't spend. He won't this. He won't that. It's like, oh, really? I get it. Nobody on the planet would make the argument that he doesn't spend enough. However, are we just going to creatively ignore the fact that he authorized, regardless of what you want to say, he authorized $10.5 million for Aroldis Chapman this offseason? Are we going to, you know what I mean? Or $8 million for Martin Perez?
No, there's no doubt two things can be true.
My point is, I cannot believe, if you look at the salaries of the guys we're talking about, you're talking about maybe adding $2.5 million max to the payroll for the rest of the year, and not even that much, probably, if you look at most of the salaries we're talking about here, right? I cannot believe that would be the reason why Ben Cherington isn't making a move.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's about prospect capital at this point in the season. Not money. I mean, there could be one or two if you're not bringing in a guy with a $25 million contract for next year. But who's available who would fall under that umbrella? It's not about that. But ultimately, you have admitted, and I would agree, that the buck stops with Bob Nutting. Yeah, you got to let your GM do his job. And up till this point, July 30th, Ben Cherington has failed miserably. For the most part, he's done some very good things, as we pointed out last week when I was here, namely drafting Paul Skeens over Dylan Cruz when most of baseball thought it would go the other way. But well, in this season, he has mostly failed. And Bob Nutting needs to go down there to that office and say, by 6 p.m., something's getting done here. I don't care if it makes sense or not. Do it.
And you have to be comfortable saying no.
That's the other thing. You have to be comfortable saying no. Here's the thing. You're the Pirates. You're not that far out. You're two games out. You're two games out, and listen, I don't care what, you know, if this makes people upset or whatever. In some ways, you've done it with smoke and mirrors. You've done it with, you know, Michael A. Taylor and Grandal homering one in the same night. You've done it with, you know what I'm saying? You've done it with smoke and mirrors of guys who have fought and scratched and clawed and got to where they're at. You're two games over. You're two games over, and you're two games, you know, out of the wild card. To me, go get some help. This team, this idea, and I keep hearing it, and mostly it's from the prospect walks. You know, the clowns out there that, you know, I say they have posters of Mitch Jeb in their room, and, you know, they stare at it, you know.
Dare you disrespect my Mitch Jeb poster?
Yeah, exactly.
You think the majority, isn't that the vast minority, though?
No, I don't.
The prospect delusional. I think the vast, if you polled every single person who watches Pirate games regularly asked them, would you give up top prospects to bring in help? I think 95% would say yes.
Right. I think even the prospect wonks would say yes. But then you start saying, okay, would you give this up or that up? Well, we can't do that.
Let's hear from them. Not the prospect wonks, but people in general.
Here's Evan in Pittsburgh.
What's up, Evan?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really got to say, I pretty much kind of agree with a lot of what Paul said at the very end there. The biggest thing is they have a chance. Like, they're pretty much mediocre right now, two games over. They've won a lot of fluky games. If they did add one or two bats, even if they were more mediocre, that's better than putting out Connor Joe, Alika Williams. Even my one friend said Nick Gonzalez has even been struggling a little bit recently, and now he's hurt too.
That's the other thing, like, that happens here, Evan, is that guys like McCutchen and Gonzalez, who have been pretty good, and they've both been clutch at times, especially Gonzalez, are actually nobody's 1-5 hitters. Now, somebody else pointed out the other day, McCutchen's batting average or OPS was 1 point above the average DH. What are we going to do, throw a ticker tape parade?
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys have been slumping pretty much for 2 months, but go ahead.
And
they look like stars in this lineup.
Well, and that's the other thing I wanted to point out was when you look at the Astros lineup yesterday, Reynolds and Cruz would have been the only two guys who would even be on their, not just their starting lineup, probably on their major league roster right now. And I mean, you know, we're not the Houston Astros, but we can do something here. And I just think, just bring something in here, get some help. And to answer the other question, definitely falls on both Charrington and Nutting.
Yes.
We said last year we needed to give Shelton the chance to manage a roster. Shelton still hasn't had a chance to manage a roster because he's putting out 4 to 5 guys a game who are batting under 250. So I don't think Shelton's the answer at manager, but we still haven't really seen him get to manage an actual good baseball team here. We're below mediocrity at the bats, and if we just got a little bit of hitting.
Some of the guys last night, appreciate the call, and two of the heroes, three of the heroes, really, I will acknowledge that from last night. Grandal came in at 182, Triolo at 199, Bay is now at 188, Ke'Bryan Hayes 239, Connor Joe 237, hasn't hit in 2 months. Michael A. Taylor was at about 200, hasn't hit really ever. Palacios at 230. Palacios is a bench guy, and I like him. I like his energy. I like some of his power, but he's a bench guy, borderline major leaguer. This guy, Ben Charrington, should have been collecting bats and should still try to collect 2 or 3 just so they have depth and a bench, if nothing else down the stretch. My God, he had to turn to Connor Joe yesterday. and he had to turn to Michael A. Taylor when Palacios got hurt. And yes, Taylor was the hero, but you get the point. And Alika Williams is on the team. I just can't get over that. What a failure by Ben Charrington. Not Bob Nutting in that case. You're right, Paul. He gave you hire a guy and give him free rein to do his job. And look at what Charrington has wrought with the lineup.
Right.
But between now and 6 p.m., and ultimately, it falls on Nutting.
There's no question. It's absolutely right. To me, it falls – well, no. It falls on Nutting. Ultimately, all of it does because it's his team.
And his hire.
But I'm not going to give Ben Charrington a pass here. And again, his hire is not doing a job that he's been hired to do. And the thing about it is, you've got – this is year five. This isn't year three. Year three, I might have listened to some of the some of the rationalization as to why they're not going to make a deal and why it doesn't make sense. I might have listened to that. But we're in year five, and you have a pitching staff that can win. I mean, quite frankly, the last 2 days, the only reason they won the games is because their pitching staff was so good. It's the only reason they won the last two games is because their pitching staff was able to keep these teams off the scoreboard while they were, yesterday, the first five innings of the game, they were getting, it was a perfect game by the Astros. They had a tomato can that started but the only reason the Pirates are able to hang in these games is the pitching staff. Well, you've got a pitching staff that is that good. Go get them some help. Go get them guys that can hit. Anyway.
Let's go back to the phones. I would point out, Paul, that the guy who started for them is actually very good, but he's a relief pitcher.
He's a reliever, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the Pirates have had some success there. It's some of the other guys they faced. That's all season, for God's sakes. Go to the phones.
Justin in Ohio.
Hey, good morning, guys. I really don't even know where to begin with them. They're so maddening to watch at times, and then they'll pull a rabbit out of their hat like they did the last 2 days. I think I'm going to echo what you guys are saying, especially you, Joe, and just go get somebody. Just go get a Kevin Pillar, which is crazy to even think that he would be a massive upgrade just based on his career numbers. I know he's having a really good year this year, but just go get him. Go get Taylor Ward. Go get somebody. The fans, really, we are owed it more than anything. And then you look at the schedule, the next 9 of the next 12 games, they play the Padres and the Diamondbacks, two teams that they are fighting with. So they can control a lot of their own destiny. They don't have to rely on these other teams to beat these guys. They can go out and do it themselves if they get some help. And my last point is you're not only two games out of the third wild card, you're 2.5 games out of the first wild card.
Yeah.
Could you imagine having Paul Skenes and Mitch Keller start two home games in the wild card series? Could you imagine that?
Well, that's
insane.
That's the whole point. And I think Paul has tried to make it. Appreciate the call. And we've all made the point. There's a massive opportunity here. This isn't, Bob Nightingale was reflecting what the Pirates may think of themselves. We're barely above 500. We might have to limit some of these pitchers the second half of the season here, or the last third of the season. Next year's really the year.
Yeah.
No, man.
Yeah.
You don't know what next year holds. You have no idea what next year might hold. The opportunity is here, right in front of their faces.
Exactly.
And if they get there, everybody in baseball agrees that I've heard, and I watch all these shows and listen to all these shows and read a bunch of crap like we all do, is everybody agrees that if you are matched against the Pirates in a playoff series of any kind, you got troubles because you got Skenes once, twice, three times in a 7-game series, probably not, but twice, Keller twice, Jones when he comes back, assuming he comes back. That bullpen, if it stays intact. Majinski, Bednar,
right.
Holderman,
right.
Chapman. You got problems. Now you need to give Shelton just some options. All these games are going to be close. Playoff games are close. So when he turns down the dugout, when it's 1-1 in the eighth inning, he doesn't see Aleka, Williams, Connor, Joe, and Michael A. Taylor.
Right.
Next, let's get to
let's
your limits.
Here's Bill in New Jersey.
What's up, Bill?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I agree with Paul. I called a couple of days ago about emptying out the farm, and that I've been waiting since 1979 for the next year forever. So they need to go out and get guys today, and not just one. They need two or three guys in this lineup. It's incompetent. And you can't tell me they can't empty the farm and go get Rooker, Ward, and Diaz. If you got all three of them dudes, they're all on controllable years cheap. I don't know why he won't empty the farm.
Well, here's the thing. For those three guys, Paul, we appreciate the call. You wouldn't have to come close to emptying your system. That's the
real
kicker
people, trading any for some people, the idea of trading any prospects is cleaning out your system, emptying your system. That's what has me frustrated the most.
Here's the other kick in the you-know-whats. Is the deal they made for this left-handed reliever, I wouldn't have given up that prospect limits. That kid is averaging 14 strikeouts per nine. Give me a hitter and I'll give up almost anybody. They bring in a mediocre left-handed reliever and they give up an actual prospect who's blowing people away at Double A?
Yeah, and I asked around about this guy that they gave up, and the text I got back was, he's having an unreal year, was a cheat code on the mound
the
this year.
One time
from someone
he gives up
with
a
him.
Prospect, Paul, it's for a mediocre left-handed reliever, and you watch, 14 strikeouts per nine for this kid. All right, let's get to Destiny's Child. He's next. One of our favorite times of the week. The manager coming up later. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. The Fan is your station for complete training camp coverage, presented by Smale Kia. And brought to you by Guardian Caps and Armstrong Business Solutions. Russell Wilson again. Not with the first team. Has he participated at all today?
Yes, he's actually been rotating with the first team offense.
Taking actual snaps.
Yes.
All right.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.